So, I mean, beyond there, you mentioned something else, and that's why I guess when you really look at the numbers and what we've been able to do, and I say we, I mean, that's you all, the jailer, and I think cooperation with the physical court to actually turn, getting this thing close to black right there along with another cost. I mean, now, back in the day, I'm sure you didn't have to do a drug test to take a person in, so that's a cost, you know. I mean, costs have just kept increasing, and I think you alluded to it, you know. Back in the day, it was pretty easy to see if somebody had a bottle of some kind of liquor on them. Now, with the Suboxone strips and things, these things are very small, and there's a lot more places they can hide them. So it's a much more complex population you're working with and troubles you're working with on a daily basis now.
Yes, it is. And it's, you know, you was talking about hiding things. You know, you can hide a Suboxone strip between your fingers. You know, like I said, when I was growing up, you can't hide a fifth of liquor or a bottle of beer between your fingers. You know, it's pretty obvious what you was doing, but just like I said, if you don't do a thorough search when they come in the jail or you don't get them talking to you, it's hard to know what they're on and hard to know how to help them. So we have to, you know, we've been trained, you know, we've talked about training that Travis has let us do, that being resourceful enough to afford to do it. And it's a nice thing is the Narcan, it's an opioid reversal, and that's a main problem we have in this county and several surrounding counties, are opioids with your pain pills. And it's instead of us having to call an ambulance or a police officer that's been trained to save their life, you know, we've been trained to be able to do it there. And that's awfully nice because it's, you know, people don't want to get caught with things. So naturally, if you get pulled over and you have some of them, you're just going to take them all, and they don't realize at the point, the state they're in, that, yeah, you're overdosing. So they're just trying not to get caught with it. So when they come to jail, we have to take care of them. We have to put them in a cell where we can monitor them, and they have to stay there for 12 hours at least before we move them out.
And I think you kind of hit on another thing there in talking about our community. I think you mentioned the Narcan. That's another pretty exciting thing. There's another partnership. You know, we have the ASAP board, which Dina Brooks is now director, and I think even her predecessor, but they've actually done grants that's provided us with some of the Narcan. So, you know, there's a resource we have that hadn't cost us as much as it could. So there just shows how these partnerships and things coexist and help each other. So
it's a team effort. I mean, it's not just, Travis does a great job, but it's not just him. It's you being able, Travis just can't do these things without your approval or the, you know, magistrate's approval or whatever. It all has to be a team effort. He has to explain how this is going to help, and it has to be approved. But when everybody's communicating, the team works well. It's just, there's no I in team. And when everybody understands that, it just runs a whole lot smoother.
I think you touched on a very good point there, and that's since I've been in office, Travis come in right before me. You know, you think about the jailer or the judge being two separate elected offices, and that they are, but at the same time, having a good relationship has made this thing work very well, and it extends to the employees. I mean, y'all are in essence just another extension of employees and myself, even though y'all are actually employees of Travis's. And since we've been there between the judge, I mean, the jailer's office and my office, we've had that kind of relationship. And yes, I think it's made it a lot easier for Travis to do the things that he needed to do to make the improvements, and vice versa. Then it's relayed into helping the court in that you all started requiring a lot less funds, and that's give us a lot more flexibility to do things. And so I guess really the only thing we haven't really touched on much with you all, and we've touched a little bit with Travis, but I guess if anybody's drove down Breckenridge Street, they've noticed the new construction going on there.
Sure.
The new jail. Of course, naturally, Travis and I got into a little bit more why we've done the expansion and what it's going to mean, but in your all's daily walks through the jail or activities in your job capacities, what do you all foresee the new facility meaning to you all, and how will it help?
Well, on a standpoint, it will make everything easier. It's just like, you know, outdated. You know, technology gets outdated in 2 years now. Well, a jail facility is the same way. You know, anything newer is better. The layout's so much better, you know, with the holding cells, isolation cells, nurse's station, control room, easy access to inmates. It's all laid out in a point where it helps the deputies, but it also helps the inmates. It helps better care for them, more room. It's just not benefiting what we do and what we want. It's also benefiting the people we have to take care of, and that's the inmates.
Danny, you or Connie have any thoughts on how the new jail is going to facilitate you all and your all's job capacities on a daily basis?
It's going to make a big difference in our jobs. I mean, it's like Scott said, it's laid out to where you don't have to. You can the camera system and stuff where you can watch every cell. We've got cameras in every cell now, but we'll be more even up to date on our cameras. You know, from going from one part of the jail to the other, it's going to be so much simpler. And I mean, it's just going to be a great improvement. And I'll add one other thing. I forgot a while ago when we were talking about Travis doing things. We are the only jail in our region that is compliant with the GED program and stuff. I talked to the school a couple times in the last couple of weeks, and we're the only one in our region that Travis we're in compliance with the GED program. We've had more graduates get their GED in jail than any other jail in our region. And that's just something that Travis has made sure, you know, that and it takes effort. I mean, that's Miss Hall and your mother. I mean, they, you know, but I mean, as far as being the only jail in the region that being up to standard, that's a big mark for us.
Well, and those things are exciting, I think. And I think you all can commend yourself on that, because if we get that person at GED, that's giving them a better chance when they get out to hopefully not be back. So yes, that's sir. Really yeah. starting to try to change the curve a little bit.
Well, they get good time for that. They get time off their time for that, which, you know, they'll have a shorter amount of time to serve on that. And a lot of them, they have to get them extra programs in order to make parole.
But also, I think if you get to the point to where that inmate, beyond getting the time credits there, if they come to the point where they're wanting to change or are starting to invest yes. in themselves some, mm-hmm. it shows that you're starting to maybe change that person and, exactly. and their mentality a little bit, and they're going to be a lot less likely to come back, and hopefully they'll be a lot more employable.
When exactly.
Well, a whole lot of factories and stuff won't hire you unless you've got your GED or your high school graduate, and that, I mean, that makes a big plus for them going out and putting in for a job, you know. And honestly, I mean, some of them has worked for, you know, different places, but never at a job where they was guaranteed 40 hours a week. And with that, they can get a job working 40 hours a week. So it makes a big difference on that. And that's just one of the things that Travis – I mean, there's right. numerous things that he's done to –
right, and the expansion will give us more revenue.
That's
and
exactly
that's a good thing.
Right. And this weekend, talking about the jail, we'd talked to some employees, we'd talked to the jailer, and one thing we wanted to try to do was get the citizens a little bit more familiar with some of the programs at the jail and what they are and what they mean to the community. And one of them was our RCC program, which Scott Wells is director over. And I'll let Scott first and foremost tell you what RCC means, and then we'll get a little bit into how that helps our community.
RCC is the acronym for Restricted Custody Center. We house about 40 inmates in that building, and these inmates are close to being done with their time. They're state inmates. All of them have to be a level one. That's the lowest level you can get, which our Class D coordinator, Connie Harding, is the one that gets them classified through Frankfort. And you can't be a level two, level three, or level four and be in the RCC center. I mean, you no violent crimes. And like I said, most of them have less than a year left. And they go out to work at our recycling center, transfer station, dog pound. We have a crew that mows the courthouse lawn. They'll come to our dispatch center, mow here. It's county garage. When they, you know, in the winter when they get busy, we actually have mechanics that are, and they're very talented people that are actually there. Like I said, most of them's just made a mistake in life, and it's like I said, no violent criminals are in the RCC at all.
Yeah, and I guess like you said, you kind of spoke to it there. The inmates that the citizens typically see, if you see one of these out in the orange shirt or whatever, is one of these you're referring to
yes.
in the community. And like you said, there's a lot of our departments that, let's just be quite frank, probably could not function if we didn't have this program to utilize. You know, I know, like you said, you mentioned transfer station. You know, we have 2.5 employees down there. Anybody knows if they see what goes on down there, that it would not be possible with that kind of staffing. And furthermore, we could probably run the transfer station, but the recycling program, which a lot of people are excited about and we do good things with, would not be.
Yeah, the recycling program is, you know, I didn't know myself when we started that. But when you go down there and watch those guys work, when they're separating cardboard, paper, plastic, everything, it's a pretty busy thing. And it's nice to have an RCC center to have to bring back something that our community can afford to do. And also it brings in revenue that was sitting there that we never did before. And when you have available people that can do that and are willing to work, it's nice to see.
And that's you kind of hit on a good point there. You know, beyond we see what's quantified in the budgets and things, but these kind of programs are where the jail is actually putting positive inputs into the general fund that they're not necessarily getting credited with. You referred to the recycling. That's exactly right. You know, that's been one source of revenue that was not available to the county. So it's helped offset some operating costs to transfer station. So it's very vital. And we go on to the, you know, that's like the animal shelter you mentioned. We have one employee there. If it was not for that program there, it would very much strap any one individual to try to keep the place sanitary as well as do the pickups and things. So we can just go on and on about.
Oh yeah, it's a great thing. I think, you know, and it gives inmates a chance to get out to be able to, you know, work themselves back out in the workforce. Because if you see these and you go watch these people, they work. It's not that they're standing on the side of the road, because it's a privilege to them. You know, not everyone in the RCC center gets to go out to work. We use it on like it's a seniority thing. You know, if you've been there the longest, you sort of get to go out to the dump. But, you know, it also helps the jail. They do our laundry. They do all of our cooking. The building they live in is spotless. They clean every day. And it's just a good all-around program for them, themselves, but also in our community, it helps a whole lot. They do more than what they get credit for.
I know another thing that you failed to mention there, Scott. I know they help with our local food banks, and that's these food banks and things probably could not exist or at least function to the capacity they do without the
assistance. They'd have a hard time because they do that two or three times a week, and it's just not for 20 people. I mean, this is a part of the community that the food bank gives the community, and a lot of people need it and a lot of people deserve it. And they go there to help unload trucks. They go there to help people get their stuff that they need. And they enjoy that. They feel a sense of pride when they are able to help people. They're, you know, not everybody in jail is an animal. You know, they're still people too, and they still have a heart deep down in them.
And that's kind of one of the things I wanted to touch on, Scott. It's, you know, and I can say my opinion has vastly changed since being in my capacity as judge and getting to be a little bit more intertwined with them. We have a lot of talented people that are incarcerated. And like you said, a lot of them have not done anything probably worse than a lot of other people in the community. They just got caught.
Yeah,
doing it.
Sure. It's and like I said, that's why it's a restricted custody center. You know, that's why they're level ones. It's not anything, you know, they've committed a crime and they've got caught, but it's not, you know, it's not anything robbery. It's not armed robbery. It's not murder. You know, these people have just made a mistake. And like you said, they've got caught. It's and no major mistake, but they did break the law. And most of them over there will tell you, yeah, that's what I done. And I'm wanting to get back. And you wouldn't believe the carpenters, the machine operators. We've had pharmacists there. We've had doctors there. It's, you know, they've just made bad mistakes. So it's amazing for me to see what kind of talent that is actually in there.
I guess we're getting there, and we've touched a lot on a lot of things, but appreciate y'all coming in, giving us a few minutes of your time this morning. And I think, like I said, it's such a vast job what you all do, but we've touched on a lot of it, and I think that starts to let our people have a little bit better understanding on a daily basis versus, like I said, just thinking that we were able to stick an inmate in a cell and, leave them. And so that's what we wanted to do, kind of give them a little bit better idea of what goes on a daily basis. And thank you all for the job y'all do for the county each and every day.
Thank you, Judge. We appreciate
you. Thank you.